Hello, everybody. Jerry Pippin, and we are at Angel Fire at the resort, and we're broadcasting for the second annual 2010 Paranormal Symposium and Film Festival. Had a lot of fun last night. Went up to Eagle's Nest and had a little get-together up there. Met a few people. Last time, we didn't get a chance to get up there. That's the highest point around here. I think it's about 10,000 feet. We're at 8,500 feet. And the weather is wonderful in September and October before the real snow starts falling. You might consider coming here early and enjoy yourself. It's a nice, pleasant getaway. Boy, have we had fun. And I tell you, Naomi Horry was with us last year, and we had a nice little chat. And I didn't ask you about one of the things you do. By the way, Naomi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here, Jerry.
And I wanted to ask you about the psychic surgeon. What do you mean by that?
Well, psychic surgery, I also call it soul surgery. It's not a medical surgery, but what you do is you work on the etheric body, and some people do it differently. For example, John of God and some of the psychic surgeons in the Philippines, they actually will take a knife and then stick their hands in people and pull tumors out. And, of course, that's illegal in this country.
And you don't do that?
No, I don't do that. Otherwise, I don't think I would want to do that. Yeah, but I work with psychic surgeons that work on a higher vibration so you can do the same work without having to go physically in the body.
Now, what kind of psychic surgery, what do you use? Arm aches, shoulder aches, or something like that, or what? What do you do? I mean, what? Who needs it?
Well, people can use it for all different things: physical ailments, as well as spiritual, financial, emotional things like that. And it's interesting because the first time I did psychic surgery years ago, I had always wanted to learn. And one night, I woke up in the middle of the night, and my hands were just buzzing. And so I grabbed my cat and I started working on him, and it looked like his fur was kind of pulling in and out as I was pulling stuff out of him. It was wild.
And was your cat better?
My cat was, he was kind of, he liked it at first, and then it got too intense for him, and then he ran away. So I said, okay, that's enough.
So if someone contacts you on your website, do you do this in person, or can you do it otherwise?
I can do it remotely, although usually I do other types of healings remotely, and then psychic surgery, for some reason, people like to come in person and do that, but it could be done remotely as well.
And once again, who would need this? I mean, it would be like, could you do something with the carpal syndrome or whatever?
Yeah, certain things respond better to psychic surgery. One example, for one woman came in who had a pain in her heart for 4 decades, she said, and so I worked on her, and then my hand just went into her, and then she just lifted up off the table horizontally and said, "What the hell was that?"
She literally lifted
back
up,
down.
Huh?
Yeah, it was, and then she said, "Wow, like the pain had gone away instantly." And another time I worked on a woman who had a fatty lymphoma on her arm. Uh-huh. And then I worked on it, and I told her to keep grounding it out, and then she did. And then that night, all this weird, yellowish-white stuff actually came out, and her doctor was amazed because he said those almost never go away without actual physical surgery. So,
how did you figure out you could do this? Just when you tried it on the cat, you figured that this will work?
Well, I'd always wanted to learn, and I had learned sort of basic elements of it, but it really went up to a whole nother level that night that I woke up with that, and then I've kind of been learning ever since then. It's been changing and evolving over time.
And what else do you do?
I also do matchmaking. I do.
We talked a little bit about matchmaking last year.
Yeah, I not only hook up couples, but I also hook up families, nannies, babysitters, employers, employees.
In other words, if someone needed a babysitter, you could help them get somebody that would compatible with the family.
Yeah, and someone who would be good with the kids, and also actually a lot of CEOs and people in very high positions in corporate America. America also used me to figure out who to hire. So, yeah.
I wanted to find out about that because you mentioned that a little bit last year. Yeah. So CEO of a company would come to you and say, I need a marketing specialist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what would you do? You'd look over the resumes or you'd contact the people? Or how does that work?
More often than not, they have a pool of applicants that they feel is strong and ask me to look at the energy of each one. And I pick one or two from there, and then we look at the astrological information if it's available. And also, people also ask me for potential investors. Is this a good potential business partner? Is this a good potential investor? So I'll look at the energy, say, yes, this looks like a good match, or no, this looks like a bad match, and this is why. So.
And are you expensive?
Some people might say so, but I think I'm very good and worth every penny.
And you've been doing this for a while.
Yes, yes, yeah.
It seemed to me when I was talking to you earlier, you had either gone back to school or something, or maybe not. Maybe I got it. You live in Colorado,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I used to teach at the University
okay,
of Colorado.
Okay, I knew there was something there.
I used to teach ways of knowing, including intuitive ways, experiential ways, not so much on the academic ways because that's what they learn the rest of their college education. So perhaps that's what you're thinking of, and I also teach my own classes. So
you actually had a college course or something in this?
Yes, I taught ways of knowing. I used to teach journalism and research and writing and things like that, but then I was only teaching ways of knowing. But actually, now I only teach my own classes and do sessions and just focus on those things. So.
Ah, a journalist.
Yeah.
Well, you need some intuition to be a good journalist,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I think the best people in every field often are very intuitive, even if they might not think of themselves that way.
Now, how did you, I guess back in high school or maybe even younger, you got interested in and knew you had these abilities?
Yes. Different things would happen. Like, for example, I had broken up with this guy, moved to Japan, and then I had this dream, but I knew it wasn't a regular dream, that his father had died and the two birds I had given him died. And then months later, I got this letter that had followed me all over Japan to my old addresses and finally had reached me, saying that his father had died, and when he was gone for the funeral, the two birds had died as well. So things like that, but I never could control when I knew things or didn't until I learned certain tools, which I teach now.
Yeah, did you live in Japan at that time?
Yes, I had moved to Japan at the time, but my old boyfriend that had written to me was still in Colorado.
Yeah, okay, and that's one of the reasons you ended up there, I bet.
Well, actually, it's funny. The reason I ended up in Japan was my mother hated my boyfriend at the time, so she said, hey, there's this great program in Japan where you can learn about your culture, get to know your relatives, and so I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. And as soon as I hit Narita, as soon as my feet touched the ground in the Japanese airport, I realized I'd been had, and that my mother had tricked me because she was afraid I would marry my boyfriend. So I get through customs, I say to my aunt, I just realized my mother tricked me into coming here because she was afraid I was going to marry my boyfriend. And she said, oh, yeah, she mentioned that to me. So it's funny. I was a little slow on the uptake and didn't realize till I actually was in Japan, miles away from him. And fortunately, I didn't marry him, which was a good thing.
So in hindsight, it's okay.
Yes, yes.
How are you with relationships now? Are you married? Or?
No. I broke up with someone that I had been with for 16 years a couple years ago. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, when we talk about what people hear, come to your booth, what do you do for them here? I mean, what do you do you have things to show them or what?
Yeah, mostly I do psychic readings, looking at the energy of their auras, and then I'm also teaching a free workshop tomorrow morning, Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, and then I also do healings. And for some people, they enjoy having some sort of physical thing to look at, so I also do soul cards where they can pick a card, and then we read the energy of that based on their questions.
Are these regular playing cards, a regular deck that you're talking about?
No, actually, they're called soul cards, and they each have a unique design on them. And I really like them better than tarot cards because it's easier to get to the energy of the card and what it means. Because I think sometimes with tarot cards, people can get in their heads, oh, Eight of Wands means this, and they get sort of analytical about it, and it's harder to see the actual energy. So I really like the soul cards that have only the pictures.
Now, Shanina Johnson, one of our producers, she went to one of your sessions last year.
Oh.
And so I'm trying to figure out what you do exactly for people around the world that want to contact you. I know you do remote things.
Yeah. People all around the world, it's interesting. I do either healings or readings for them, and sometimes I go in other countries and teach as well. But it's mostly healings and readings, and it's so universal no matter what country, what culture you're from, what age. Often it's about love, finances, career, health. Those are the main topics. But sometimes people will have very specific things. It's interesting. In Angel Fire, there's a certain niche of people that are very specialized, who are very very transmedium, very in touch with this psychic world already. So they have kind of very specialized questions related to that.
So here at Angel Fire, you're talking about people coming to the conference or people that live here or what?
Yeah, people coming to the conference who
come
to me for
sessions.
Because
I always hear about there's some sort of a mystic experience around here.
Yeah.
Do you feel something?
The energy is very intense here, and I feel like a lot of people that are drawn to the conference are in touch and in tune with those energies. So, yeah.
Yeah. So when you come to this place, you get a feeling of intensity. Would that be the way to describe it, or serenity, or what?
I think it has both a certain peace and a very spiritual energy to it, as well as a lot of transmedium energies. And I think that's often the case with areas that have a lot of powerful energy going on. You have both the light and then the other floating around. It's both.
Okay, now, as an exact title for you, Naomi Hori, what would we put after that on a sign?
Intuitive healer. And my favorite thing to do is soul surgery, so maybe soul surgeon. Yeah.
And when you talk about, and we started the interview talking about that, You heal things physically, more than just the soul.
Yes, and a lot of things too. The spiritual is always tied to the physical, because if there's a physical illness or imbalance, there's always some kind of spiritual component to that.
So if you treat someone that has something that's chronic, perhaps you might be able to clear it up.
Yes, yeah.
And how's your record on that? Pretty good?
Pretty good, yeah. I feel like I'm my best example, because I actually recovered from stage 3 leiomyosarcoma, and I had a 7% survival rate for that, because my first surgery had transected the tumor, spreading the cancer cells throughout my body, and everyone thought I'd be dead, but I'm just fine. I had my 5-year anniversary on September 1st, and I'm totally healthy.
Congratulations.
Cancer free, and I feel like working through all that energy on myself has really done a great deal for me. So that's why I love to teach people.
When one finds out that they have something that could be terminal, it must be a huge, it'd have to be a shock, but how did you deal with it?
Well, it was a great opportunity for me, actually, because...
In other words, you didn't really want to accept it and didn't.
I just decided it wasn't time for me to go. And actually, it's been a great gift for me, because it's helped me, I believe, in many ways, become a better healer, looking at all these different energies. And it also kind of pushed me, because before I was in literary publishing and in the academic and corporate world, and I had been ready to go for some time, but this kind of pushed me, like, are you going to do what you came here to do or not? So it made me really focus on that, and it also made me go in and really look at some of the energies that I hadn't wanted to look at and really flush them out and shift them.
How about your belief in the afterlife? What happens here? Do you have any feelings about that?
I believe that we're all spirit and we change bodies. We dispose of bodies. We're done with bodies and then we get new bodies. And it's interesting because my mother had passed away years ago. But in many ways, I actually got to know her much better after she passed away through spirit communication.
You felt her presence?
Yeah, she comes to visit me, and sometimes when I do different classes or attend different classes, she'll be floating around studying as well. So, and she loves it and wishes she had the opportunity to do that when she had her body. But next time she has her body, she's going to bring that information that she's collected in between lifetimes into her new body.
We have a lot of people to talk to, so we're going to let you go here in a minute. But you have anything else you'd like to bring out that we haven't?
No, I just wanted to say thank you so much for including me, and it's an honor to be on the Jerry
Piffen
Show.
Oh, it's always fun having you on. And what has happened to you in the last year besides, I guess you did some more psychic surgeries.
Yeah. In the last year, it's interesting because I feel like with the shifts inside myself and then the shifts on the planet, things have really been manifesting. Like it shifts so much, so I have a lot more sort of multi-million CEO clients, people in Hollywood, and people from all over the world getting in touch with me. So it's really exciting to be able to help people all over.
And you're pretty sure this shift is going to happen?
Oh, yeah, it is happening already, so, yeah.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jerry.
And Naomi Horry, and we'll be back in a moment. I'm Jerry Piffen, and we're at Angel Fire Resort in northern New Mexico. If you've never been here, you need to come and visit us. I'd like to take an opportunity here to talk to you about our websites. We've been adding programs, and sometimes it's difficult to find what you're looking for. First of all, we have a search mechanism on each of our websites, and you can click, like if it's jerrypiffen.com or if ipodshows.net, just search the websites, put in the name of what you're looking for, and it will come up. Check us out, won't you? Often. In the background, you hear Norio Hayakawa, and he'll be on later on talking to us about UFOs, but he's quite the keyboard player. Nancy DeYoung is here, and Nancy is one of our favorite people. I believe we talked to you last year.
That's right.
And I don't know if I brought up your Egyptian trip last year or not.
I
don't think we did, so... Why did you go to Egypt, and how is that related to you? But before we do that, even let's do a little bit of a promo about Nancy DeYoung. Tell our audience about you.
Well, I'm an etheric clearing specialist. I've written two books. One's called Modern Shamans. The other one is They Do or You Do. They Do or You Do is hot off the press. I just got it in time to bring it to the symposium.
In that book, what will they find?
That book is takes a look at all of the things that influence us and play out in our lives, like psychic vampirism. There's a chapter on ETs.
Now, I'm going to have to discuss that before the show's over, psychic vampirism.
Yeah. And walk-in experience, just
that,
all the ghosts, those sorts of things.
Now, before we get to the Egyptian trip and things like that, here, what kind of exhibit do you have? Or what are you doing here at the symposium?
Well, I have my books here. I'll be giving a talk tomorrow morning.
And the subject of the talk is?
It's called Inner Contact. And this, of course,
that's a theme of the whole thing, is contact.
Is contact.
Usually you think of extraterrestrial contact.
Right.
And you're talking about inner contact. What's the difference?
It's getting in touch with that inner part of ourselves so that we can get ready for contact. We all know it's coming at some point. Some people are having it now, but generally speaking,
I understand.
We're headed for it. So it's getting ready for it. I remember the first time I saw one. I was with a friend, and I was in Boulder, and one was going right along the tree line, just right down one of the main streets in town.
Was it a saucer-shaped thing?
It was a light. It was like a plasma.
Okay.
Plasma craft. And she started chasing it, and I ran the other way. So it's like that sort of thing. We have to get ourselves ready so that we're not afraid and so that we're in our power and so that it can be a nice experience, not the stuff that a lot of people are experiencing today.
And so you say we have control over that as individuals?
I believe we do. I believe that if we're in our power and coming from that place of healedness, I'm making up a word here.
Well, that's a good word.
That our experience, that we're not so easily taken advantage of. There are people who are having contact that it's a soul agreement, that they've agreed to do this before they ever came into this life. And some of those experiences are pleasant and some of them are not. But if we haven't made a soul agreement for this, we don't have to experience this. So I have helped people end contact, and other people who have had it and it's been their agreement, we've been able to find what caused it, why, so that they don't feel like a victim with it.
Yeah. Now, when we're talking about inner contact with whom?
Our inner self, our inner power, becoming an empowered being.
And is this difficult to do, or you just have to? I mean, you mentioned something right at the top, some sort of, when I asked you what you did, you said this.
Etheric clearing.
Right. Tell us what we're talking about.
Okay. Etheric clearing.
That's what I'm getting.
Is based on soul retrieval and releasement. These are two old shamanic techniques of going into those inner worlds and getting back our power pieces that have been taken from us so that we can step into our power. So those are two of the main things I work with. I also am able to talk to people's guides and get information for them and go in and see so that they get a lot of information about what's happening, why it's happening, and what we can do to stop it, if anything.
How did you become a shaman?
Well, that goes to Egypt.
Okay.
You wanted to go there anyway,
yeah, right,
so here we are.
Right.
I was actually living in Colorado, in Boulder at the time, and a friend introduced me to this lady who was doing soul retrieval. And so I was going to her for a while, and in December of that year, well, actually, I'll back up, in August of that year, I went to her, and she'd had a really bad day. And I said, well, maybe I should work on you, you know, just kidding her. And she said, yes, you need to do that. And she laid down on the table, and all of a sudden I started seeing all of this stuff and the relationships that she was dealing with that were causing.
Now, when you see this stuff, were we talking about visions, like you're watching a movie screen or something?
In my head.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Inner visions.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was
more like a dream, but you can remember it.
Right. And I was getting information about what was causing it. And so we did her clearing, and she got up, and I said, you got to teach me how to do this. And she says, oh, yeah, you know how people do. Someday we'll do that. Well, in December of that year, I saw this flyer for going to Egypt for a healing conference. And I decided I needed some healing, so what better place to do it than go to Egypt? And so I gave that to myself for my birthday present. And while I was there, I just had the most profound experience. I was sick for like 24 hours before I went into the pyramid. And it wasn't anything I'd eaten or drank or whatever. It was just this whole cleansing process I was going through. And when I got up, we had a group thing where the pyramid was closed to the public. And just our group went in at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I got up, and I hadn't eaten or drank or anything for 24 hours. I was still feeling pretty sick. Anyway, I went in there, and it's like I knew I was there to finish an initiation that I'd started in another lifetime or whenever, that I had failed. And so I went down into the pit, which at that time it was still open. I don't think it is anymore. And I had this experience where nobody could see me. I mean, I'd go right up to somebody as close as we are and look them right in the eye, and they couldn't see me. It's like they...
I've never been to Egypt, so this crypt is where one of the pharaohs is?
Well, they think that there was machinery down in the pit.
Okay.
It's down on the... the lowest level that's open, or, well, that they've opened.
And you went down there.
Mm-hmm.
And you were invisible.
It was my first experience with spontaneous invisibility, which I didn't know at the time. It scared the tar out of me. I didn't know what was...
You know how to do this now?
Well, I find myself doing it sometimes, and it's like I don't quite know how to control it, but I know when it's happening because I've had it confirmed to me enough times that I know the feeling when I'm invisible.
Does it happen while you are talking to somebody and all of a sudden you become invisible, or when you change locations you're invisible?
Well, let me give you another example.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Okay.
I was giving a talk on... I work with essential oils, and I was giving a talk at the fitness club on this, and I had told the massage therapist, I said, come in when you're free, you know, and just come in the back and sit down and, you know, join us. And she didn't come, and the talk ended, and saw her a couple days later, and I said, why didn't you come to the talk? And she said, well, you weren't there. And I said, yes, we were.
Yeah.
And we went over the room, and, you know, and I said, we were there. And she said, no, you weren't. So the whole group had gone with me. And that was another time I had it confirmed. So
you were able to bring others along into this.
Evidently.
Do you have a clue how this happens or why?
I think it has to do with, you know, parallel universes. I don't know, you know, exactly what it is. But it's like everything looks the same, you know, when you're in that other space. I mean, if we were someplace else right
you're
now.
You're obviously probably not interacting with them. Or are you?
With what?
With the people in the room.
Oh, yeah.
You are?
Yeah, I was giving a talk on essential oils.
In other words, we're probably talking about two different realities.
Evidently. And I think it's like when I get into that space of, it's like raising the state of consciousness. And I think that it just becomes... so that you're just not visible to most of the people in this third-dimensional reality. And I think probably a lot of us do this, and we just don't even know we're doing it until you have something like that happen to you.
So do you have a tip on others on how they might be able to figure this out, I mean, and understand what they're doing? You have an inner... You know, I guess we need to go to your speaking event in the morning.
I think a lot of it has to do with just raising your vibration and your consciousness enough that you just go there. And, you know,
why did you go to Egypt originally? Were you just a tourist, or was it...
I wanted to go for the healing conference.
Okay.
And so anyway, I'm in this pit having this experience, not understanding it, and just weeping. I mean, I just sat there and just cried and cried. I was scared. I was, you know, I mean, it was like, and this whole past life stuff was coming up. And so then I found my way out of there eventually, and I still didn't know what was happening. And I went up to the Queen's Chamber, and I sat in one of the spaces, and it's like I knew I had been there many, many times before. So I evidently had attended classes or whatever was going on in the pyramid back when, during the days of the priests and priestesses.
You have any idea what time period we're talking about?
You know, I never looked at that.
Okay.
No, I don't know.
Okay.
But a long time ago. Back when the pyramid was active.
Ancient mysteries, right.
And then I went up into the King's Chamber, and we had our ceremony up there, and Wallace Black Elk is the one who led it. He was a Native American elder. And they turned out all the lights in the pyramid, and I'm seeing these birds flying around. I'm hearing them flapping their wings. I'm seeing all these people were like lights, you know, sitting there in this totally dark space. And I'm going, oh, my God, you know. And what I heard at that point was, let it go. It's time now to move on. So I was able to release that old lifetime. And I think in doing that, it opened me up to the work I was doing in Egypt back in those days of, you know, we think about shamanism as being started in Russia and the Native Americans doing it and so on.
Yeah, that's the reason I was getting to.
But this is like, it was older. We probably didn't call it shamanism then, but the work I do now was triggered by what I had done in that other lifetime as a priest.
Do you have a website?
I do. It's N, D. Young, like in my name, DEYOUNG.com. It's pretty simple.
And that, well, that's pretty easy to remember, so people can find that. What will they find on this website?
Well, my books are on there. I'm not real good at web development, so I don't have a lot of stuff on there yet. But I do have a couple of articles on soul retrieval and spirit releasement that anybody can go read. I got a link to a couple links to other sites that are good. So, and kind of a just explanation of, you know.
Well, Nancy, anything else we'd like to talk about here?
I don't know.
I think we pretty well covered it then.
I'm sure there's 100 other things we could talk about.
Okay, well, we look forward to seeing you again soon.
All right. Thanks,
Jerry.
Thanks
very much. We're here at Angel Fire, and we're broadcasting, and we'll be back with another interesting person. So don't go away. You know, on the Internet, you can get lost. You hear some people, some hosts saying, bookmark us or put us on your favorites. Well, that's a good idea. If you don't have one of our websites or all three of them on your favorites, we suggest you do that now and come back often. We change content every day. So come and see us at jerrypippin.com, ipodshows.net, and ufoshowstogo.com.